I know mine, and mine know me. How many people do you know? And as importantly, how many people know you? But before you start calculating numbers in your head, I want you to understand that in the scriptures, that verb, to know, has a much different connotation than we use it today. So let's explore that a little bit, to know. In the Old Testament, the copies of which we have written in Hebrew, and in Hebrew, the word know is yada. And so whenever you're talking to somebody and they go on and you go yada, 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 that means I know, I know, I know. Stop already. In the Old Testament, to know had a very intimate connotation. So much so that that verb yada was used for the intimate relationships between a husband and a wife. In Genesis, it says Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived. It's also used in the Old Testament in a way that God knows us and how he knows us. It said God knows, God yada, every person's human heart. The New Testament that we hear from our Gospels today, those copies we have in Greek. And in Greek, the word changes a little bit, the verb, know, but it still keeps that very intimate, close relationship. So that if you, in Jesus' time, to claim you knew somebody means you knew them so well that you would know what they're thinking, you'd know what they would be doing, you'd know what they'd guess what they were doing if they had an idea. It was an intimate knowing of that person. We've lost that today. We know a lot of people, and social media has helped us. We have Facebook, so we know what people are wearing. We know what people are eating for dinner. We know what people are doing in their house. But we really don't know them. And in fact, loneliness has become such an epidemic problem in our society. Because although we have social media and we spread a lot of information and communicate with each other, nobody really knows anybody anymore, and that leads to loneliness. As you know, we're interviewing for a principal for our next upcoming year. And one of the very first questions that we ask the candidates is, tell us your faith story. How did you come to where you are with Jesus now? And one of the candidates told us that she had gone to Catholic elementary school, Catholic high school, and Catholic college. And it wasn't until she was in college that she realized that you could have a relationship with Jesus. Even though she had been in Catholic high school and Catholic elementary school, and she learned all about Jesus, she thought he was a historical figure. Sort of like you'd learn about Abraham Lincoln and say, oh, that's what he was like. That's what she thought Jesus was. He was a good story. It was the greatest story ever told, but he was just a story. And it wasn't until she got to Marquette, whoever went to Marquette, thank her, that she ran into some priest that told her, no, you could have a relationship with Jesus. And he's a real person that you could have here today and now. Jesus' claim today, I know mine, and mine know me. He's offering a relationship, an exchange. It's not that God learns to know us. He knows us already, all the way through. We have to let God, we have to know God, and we have to accept how he knows us and not hide from him. In human terms, I can only relate this to marriage. If you've been in a good marriage, your spouse knows you and you know them. I would have to say, honestly, the only person that really knew me was my wife. Every time you let somebody know you, you have an opportunity to understand how God knows you. And that, to me, is really important. Jesus is offering in the gospel that type of deep relationship for you to recognize that. And when we know somebody, it's not like we're thinking of them every moment. It's not, and God doesn't expect you, okay, think of me every moment of your life. That's not what knowing somebody means. Knowing somebody is that deep, cherished event where you don't have to think about them every time, but you know they're there. And you know they'll be there in good times and in the worst of times. When you're down, when you failed, this person that knows you will still be there to bring you up. That's the type of knowing that Jesus is offering us. If you allow God to know you, that's the source of the cardinal virtue of hope. Realizing that you're known by God, you can hope no matter what's going on in your life. And that hope leads to joy, so that you can be joyful even in the midst of dark sorrow, because you know God knows you, and now you know him. Why is this so hard for us? It's because our human relationships, we've tried that, and we've gotten hurt. I don't believe anyone can grow up and not have their heart broken. And I think that's critical, because Jesus' heart was broken. And if you have a broken heart, you can understand how Jesus loves you, because he has a broken heart too. And this, to me, is important. To me, the best chance of you, the best chance people have of knowing God are two types of people. One is children, because they haven't been tainted by the world, and they trust unconditionally. They know you'll take care of them. They know you'll feed them. They don't even question. They don't say, And so young children can really know God. That's why it's important for you to get them to know Jesus when they're young, and as a person, not a historical figure. And then secondly, the brokenhearted, because Jesus heals the brokenhearted. And it's with a broken heart that we could come to him and say, Jesus, I trust you. Because getting to know Jesus is safe and it's simple. But it's hard because we have been hurt, and we find it very difficult to do. Jesus took a chance. He took a chance on the cross that we would allow ourselves to know him. And he said, that's who I am. I'm on the cross for you. When you yada somebody, you're saying, I cherish you. I want you. I desire you in my life, and I'm going to share my life with you. Last Tuesday, I was with my grandkids, and the youngest one is baby Alice. She's 18 months old. Spent the whole day with them, and I had to leave a little bit early because they had something else I had to do. So I said to them, they were all doing something, playing, and I said, okay, I'm leaving, I'm gonna go. Now, 5 months ago, Alice wouldn't even look at me. Some like the kids were here today when I looked at them. They're like, she wouldn't even look at me. But as I was standing there and I said, I'm ready to go, baby Alice, now 18 months old, she comes up and she hugs my leg. And then she did something that she's never done before. She pursed her little lips for me to come and give her a little kiss. She went. So I had to bend down. Okay, Alice, let me give you. That's the first little kiss that she ever asked from me. And after I was going home, I thought, you know what? That's the way God knows us. That every time you come here to Mass, he wants to give you a hug. He wants to give you a little kiss. And then he wants to give you something that we can't give each other yet. He gives you himself in the Eucharist. He totally gives of himself to you in the Eucharist. The more people that you yada, and the more people that yada you, the more you can understand how much God knows you and loves you. And that's the secret of why we're here, to yada people. So I'll ask you in your head, how many people really yada you? And how many people do you yada? Because that's the source of hope. And if you've lost hope in your life, you got to get to know people. Because when you let somebody know you, you're really letting Jesus in. Because you can only know Jesus as well as you yada someone else. I know mine, and mine know me. And if you've done that, I will just tell you, you will really understand the gift of the Eucharist. We're trying so hard to say, Jesus is really there, Jesus is really there. And I could tell you that 100 times. And I'll bet you that candidate we had could in their mind say, oh, Jesus is really there. But until you yada him, you really don't understand that, yes, he's really here.